Well, hi, this is Steve Hall. Thanks for listening to the podcast today. I have a student with me today that I think you're going to enjoy hearing what he has to say. And by the way, if you've got any young men or young boys as part of your life, you really need to perk up your ears. You're going to learn some valuable information today, I think. I'm sitting here with a young man named Storm. He's a senior at Tuckerlands High School. I've had him in Altitude, right, and in ACT prep now. And he's been one of my great students. So it's been good having him around, and I'm thrilled to have him here for the podcast today. If you hang out with Storm for a while, you'll learn he's excited about Jesus. He's excited about his walk with Christ. And I think he's very serious about wanting to be a stronger follower of Jesus. But not just that, and this makes him unusual, he's very serious about helping other, especially other young guys, become stronger followers of our Lord Jesus Christ. He wants to help others be strong disciples, and I think that makes him unique. And he's thinking about that, praying about that, and the Lord's already using him that way. One of the things we're going to talk about today that I think you'll be interested in is his involvement in an organization, well, I guess former involvement in an organization called Frontier Service Corps, which has kind of morphed, as I understand it, into another organization called Trail Life USA. And Trail Life USA, if you haven't heard about it, is an organization that God has raised up fairly recently for those of us who've been pretty sadly disappointed with the recent decisions that have made by, been made by the Boy Scouts of America. We're going to talk about that in a minute. So, Storm, welcome to the podcast. Good to have you here today.
Good to be here.
I want us to talk about Trail Life USA, and I think there'll be a lot of people interested in hearing about that. But before we do, let's talk just a little bit about your walk with the Lord. You want to tell us a little bit of your story, how you got started, describe your relationship with Jesus?
That's a long story on itself.
Well, just summarize it for us.
My entire life, from about the time I was probably after I was born, parents got divorced. And basically, Dad tried to... He does what everyone does. They take their kid to church, and eventually the kid... The whole process, the whole cycle continues. Kid graduates, leaves home, never goes to church again. That was sort of the way I saw things. That was sort of the way I saw it. And then I went to God's Mountain, which I got saved at 8 years old.
For those who aren't aware, God's Mountain is a Christian retreat here, not far from Telco Plains. Go ahead.
Yeah. And I was really the stubborn, bullheaded guy. I was like... In order to get me up there, it literally took Roger Martin. He looked at me square in the eye and he said, if you were to die right now, where would you go, heaven or hell?
Got your attention.
Yeah, that grabbed my attention, and that's when I got saved and Dad got things straightened out.
How old were you then?
I was 8.
Okay.
And all the things that I've experienced up to that point, I sort of had to grow up pretty fast to know this way to handle everything.
Yeah.
And I spent probably the next couple of years... struggling with depression and all that. And then I got introduced to a man by the name of Zach Dunn, to understand your...
Yeah, Zach's in our small group. We meet on my home on Thursday night. Yeah, Zach and Amy. Just had a new baby.
Yeah.
Yeah. Now let's get the time frame here. So roughly how old were you when you got involved with Zach?
I'm not too sure. It was about 15. About 15, 16.
So those were years between the time you really first... committed yourself to Christ when you were just a child. Of course, you didn't know a whole lot then, but you were committed to Christ best you knew how. For the next several years, maybe 7 years or so, kind of a rough time.
Yeah.
And then God brought Zach into your life. Mm-hmm. Okay, keep going.
And I always knew I was sort of like intended for leadership because I can walk into a situation and be like, all right, this is how this will work out. Zach walked up, he pulled me aside, he's like, Storm, I think God has a plan for you. How would you like to be granted the position of sergeant? A sergeant's basically senior, one of the senior junior leaders in that was Frontier Service Corps. And I was like, I jumped at the opportunity. I didn't jump at it because, you know, it was what God had called me to do. I called it just because I like to be in charge of everyone. But the more I did that, the more I did, you know, the leadership thing, the more I realized just what an example I set for people. And after... we had an incident where one of our captains had apparently thought we were some form of militia.
Oh, no.
Yeah, and I get questioned about that a lot. The more I saw that, the more I sat around. We had our little table down in Bethlehem that we always sat around. They let us have our meetings there. And the more I sat there, the more I watched Zach, the more I watched Colby, I saw the more influence, the more people had sort of a respect for them and sort of listened to them.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, well, my entire life, I had the plan to join the Marine Corps, which had been my plan, which you can
tell them. Yep. See your cap there.
Yep.
Camo. And,
yeah, Marine Corps camo.
Mm-hmm.
And the whole reason I wanted to join the Marine Corps was because I'd rather be something someone respected, because I felt like, you know, down all the time, depressed. Mm-hmm. I wanted to be that one. I wanted to be someone people respected. And the more I saw that, the more I was like, well, not only people respect what I'm doing, which I don't understand.
Mm.
People, when I tell them I'm in ministry and I tell them what we do, they like, I have a lot of respect for you. I don't understand why. I mean, I'm just doing what God told me to do.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, so that sort of snowballed and Zach discipled me, and then I started teaching.
Cool. Well, that's a great story. And now you're senior, we graduate this year, right? This is your last year to high school. Okay, well, and God's still working. Most of us who were saved at a young age, we know we didn't have all the words put together and all the theology put together. We just said, well, I want to follow Jesus. I'm sorry for my sin. But if someone were to come to you right now and say, hey, what do I need to do? I know my life is not right. I want it to be right. What do I do? What would you say are the general requirements for anybody to get into heaven? Just what do we need to do?
Have a saving faith in Jesus Christ.
Amen. Yeah.
And once you get saved, then I highly recommend reading through Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. This way you sort of get a general understanding.
Mm-hmm.
And then I highly recommend 1st and 2nd Corinthians and Romans. And that sort of, that way get their head around what the church is supposed to be like and what we're supposed to do as Christians. And also read through the book of Acts at some point.
Okay. So you just mainly point them to the New Testament and say, you need to read this book. You know, that's good. I'm talking to the kids today in the class, they were guessing my Bible verse of the day, my Bible literacy tag. And we got to talking about, we've talked about it more than once, about how easy it is to think that, okay, the way I've got to please God is to do this, and not do this. And we got these lists of do's and don'ts. And it's easy to see how we get that, because we learn pretty early that's how we please our parents. You know, they say do this, and if we do it, they're happy. They say don't do that. If we don't do it, they're happy. And if we disobey them, they're unhappy. So it kind of translates into the way I please God is to do all this stuff or don't do all this stuff. And the only problem with that, of course, is that none of us can please God that way, because all of us are messed up too much. You know, we've sinned too much. There's too much sin in all of our lives. So God says, no, that's not the way you please me. You're not going to do it that way. I sent my son to die for you. You need to trust Jesus. Just trust Jesus and what he did for you on the cross. And it's so hard for many people to get that into our heads. You know, it's trusting Jesus. It's not my words. It's Jesus and what he did for me on the cross. He's my only hope. So I'm glad to hear you say that's what you're telling me. Basically, trust Jesus. Most of us who are a little bit older can look back. You know, when you get my age especially, I'm 67, old man. I can look back over decades of life. And there are lots of highs and lots of lows. There are times when I just thought, man, I'm going to die. And there are other times I thought, wow, this is so cool. And I know you're still young, but I bet you've still been through some high times and low times. You want to talk about that a little bit with us?
One of the biggest lows I had for probably having my sophomore year, because that was when I got involved with a very interesting individual, which was also my ex-girlfriend.
Mm.
And I literally, and the issue I'm about to talk about is not something that just happened at that point in time. That happened probably up from the point, I say I was about in maybe 6th, 7th grade.
Mm.
I really started struggling with the thought of suicide.
Mm.
Simply just because I had been isolated so much.
Mm.
I mean, I was literally, I'm an only child.
Yeah.
And I'm allergic to just about anything. Mm. So I can't go outside. I can't do much anything.
Oh, my goodness.
So I was sort of isolated, and I'm like, no one likes me. No one loves me. Sad face. That's pretty much how it worked.
Yeah. So that was a low time.
That was a very low time.
Yeah. So how did you come out of that?
I actually got involved with Frontier Service Corps.
Okay. So that's when Zach came into your
life. That's when Zach came into the picture, and he was like, here, this is what we're doing for God. And I'm like, okay.
Yeah. So I pulled you out of that. Yeah. Yeah.
If it wasn't for Zach, if it wasn't for Zach discipling me and showing me exactly what I needed to do, I probably wouldn't be here today.
Wow. Well, thank the Lord that he brings people like that into our lives. Every one of us can look at certain people and say, wow, God put them in my life at the right time, mm-hmm. for the right purpose, and brought me out of whatever I was in. You know, and of course, we need to turn around and do that for others, too. And I know you're trying to do that. One of the things I counsel young people when they first trust Christ is find you two people, find you a mentor that's probably a little older than you, but certainly has been in Christian life longer than you, who maybe has studied the Bible a little bit more, so that you can learn from them and ask them questions. And that you need that kind of person in your life. And it sounds like that's what Zach's been for you. Mm-hmm. And then I also encourage people to find somebody your own age, or at least at your own spiritual development stage, you know, where you can both be excited about the Lord. You know, we need to kind of fire each other up sometimes, and we need other people in our life like that. So it sounded like that's what God did for you with Zach. That's cool.
That's what God did with Zach, and also my best friend of this day, Nathan.
Yeah, there you go. There you go. There you go. That's good. Well, we definitely need that badly. Any other particular highs or lows?
Probably the biggest high I had was at Youth Reach and at God's Mountain.
Yeah.
And then pretty much, I wouldn't say it was my biggest high, but it was a pretty big high for me because I actually got to teach, which is something I always wanted to do, but I was like, I'd never going to be able to do that. God puts you in the situation where you never thought you'd get there, but you're here and you don't know how you got there.
Yeah, and He used you there. Mm-hmm. I tell you, and people who've never done any teaching at all, it's sometimes hard to appreciate how much more you learn when you teach because you're having to get it really absorbed well so you can communicate it well to others. And that's the best way to learn is to teach.
You've got
to
study it like you were teaching it.
Yeah. And I think sometimes we need to think of ourselves as just one-on-one teaching, not necessarily a classroom of people, but I'm studying the Bible so I can share it with somebody else. So he's apparently gifted you some there to communicate that with others, and that's a great thing. Any other gifts you feel like are skills or abilities that God may be working into your life to use?
Be completely honest, I was never gifted with the ability to talk to people.
Mm.
People make me nervous.
Yeah.
So that was literally sort of God breaking me out of my comfort zone. Mm-hmm. But the only other gift he's given me that I can think of off the top of my head is basically my mind, the way I think about things. I see things more or less hyper-logically, where everything has to string together. And that's sort of when I go through, especially when I went through the Book of Romans, and then you go to the notes, and then you go to the internet, and then all of that. When you can make that connection to how all that sits together, it really helps when you're teaching and even learning yourself.
Yeah. Well, let's talk about this. Now, the Frontier Service Corps, you first got involved with that because of Zach, and then it's kind of morphed into Trail Life. So let's talk about Trail Life just a little bit. Tell me about what Trail Life USA is all about.
Trail Life is basically, it started out after the Boy Scouts of America made their decision, I suppose.
Yeah.
And a large group of them cut off and said, no, this is not biblically sound, this is not what we believe. So they left BSA, went over somewhere else, and they're like, all right, we're going to make a new scouting organization. That was basically the first Fourth Front. They're like, we're going to make a new scouting organization. There was two groups. There was the group that wanted to make it Christ-based scout ministry. And then you had the other group that was like, we just want the Boy Scouts, no gay people. Basically, obviously, the Christ-based scouting ministry, part one. And then they called a group of 50 people, which were each ministry leaders in their own right, if only in their own right. But Zach was one of the few that went up to the conference in Kentucky. And Zach came back and he was like, I'm really excited for this. And I'm like, I'm one of those guys that's real hesitant about just about everything unless I see concrete evidence of it. But I was like, all right, because it says that our leaders are ordained to lead us. So I was like, all right, I'll listen to this. And seeing from what came out of it, I'm like, this could be something. This could be something.
Let me just, you brought me a brochure the other day, and let me just share with people a little bit about what this says. I think you'll appreciate this. It said, what makes Trail Life USA unique? Living the Trail Life is a journey for boys and young men established on timeless values derived from the Bible. Set in the context of outdoor adventure, each young trail man will be challenged to build character and a lifetime of practical leadership skills. All boys are welcome, irrespective of religion, race, national origin, or socioeconomic status. However, all adult leaders must sign a Christian statement of faith. All program elements are taught from a Christian worldview with God's truth woven into the very fabric of the program. And some of you might be interested in what the statement of faith is. So let me read that real quickly, just a few sentences here. We believe that there is one triune God, Father, Jesus Christ, His one and only Son, and the Holy Spirit, Creator of the universe and eternally existent. We believe the Holy Scriptures, Old and New Testaments, to be inspired and authoritative Word of God. We believe each person is created in His image for the purpose of communing with and worshiping God. We believe in the ministry of the Holy Spirit who enables us to live a godly life. We believe that each individual is called to love the Lord their God with all their heart, mind, soul, and strength, and to love their neighbors as themselves. We believe that each individual is called to live a life of purity, service, stewardship, and integrity. And that's the end of the statement, but there's some clarification here on the purity, service, stewardship, and integrity, those last four words. Mm-hmm. And it says, purity, trail men are called to live a life of holiness, being pure of heart, mind, word, and deed, reserving sexual activity for the sanctity of marriage. And then they've got this statement, marriage being a lifelong commitment before God between a man and a woman. And that's obviously reflecting some of the controversies that's been going on in the Boy Scouts. Service, trailed men are called to become a responsible part of their community and the world through selfless acts which contribute to the welfare of others. Stewardship, trail men are called to use their God-given time, talents, and money wisely. Integrity, trail men are called to live a moral life, demonstrating the inward motivation to do what is right, regardless of the cost. And they've got a motto, and the motto says, walk worthy, from Colossians 1:10. Live a life worthy to the Lord and please Him in every way. And they have an oath, and the oath says, on my honor, I will do my best to serve God and my country, to respect authority, and to be a good steward of creation, and to treat others as I want to be treated. And then for people who want more information, there's a website, traillifeusa.com, all one word, traillifeusa. And I'm sure you could learn a lot more about it there. Mm-hmm. But it looks to me like a fabulous opportunity for young men and boys. Are there age limits here? Do you know?
When Zach got back from the conference, from mm-hmm. the most recent conference, he showed me the whole organizational setup. Mm-hmm. And it was, they separated it by grade level. It was 3 to 6, and then 7 to 8, mm-hmm. and then you had 9 to 12, and you had your college groups, okay. and then in the subheading you had age groups.
And this very name of it, Trail Life, sounds like that there's a lot of emphasis on outdoors, of mm-hmm. course, and doing some adventures, doing some trails, some hiking, those kind of things. And mm-hmm. yeah, spend a lot of time outdoors. That's going to be good. Mountaineering skills are mentioned, monthly excursions, those kind of things. Yeah. Sounds like a lot of fun for kids. Mm-hmm. Well, let's go back to our high school days here. I know you've been involved in the Veritas Club, mm-hmm. and I assume that means you'd be willing to encourage other people to come. Mm-hmm. If other people said, well, why? What's the point? You want to give them your feelings on that? Why you think it's important to go to something like the Veritas Club?
In the Bible, it says it's not good to forsake gatherings of fellow believers, and things like Veritas and other things like that are very helpful, especially when it comes to, like, maybe you can't go to church every week, or you can't do something like Trail Life or Frontier Service Corps like we did with ministry, mm-hmm. which is more of a sort of like a classroom element, mm-hmm. except with people think of that sometimes in church or Sunday school. That's mm-hmm. not really one-on-one attention for anything.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, and Veritas, of course, like you said, is good for some people. Just, you know, maybe they can't go to church, or, you know, maybe because their parents won't take them and they don't have any other way. And if they get involved, if they really want to grow in Christ, they can certainly do that in a club like the Veritas Club. They can grow. Mm-hmm. And, of course, they can get some questions answered. You know, one of the things we emphasize is the world out there is asking young people a lot of tough questions. And it's more important than ever for young people to know why they believe what they believe, you know, how they know the Bible's true, how they know Jesus rose from the dead. And so we try to cover those things, how we know God created the universe and it didn't just evolve by chance. You know, we like to talk about all those things and help kids get answers to that. So, and now that you're a senior in high school, you may have some advice for younger students coming into high school. Is there something in particular you'd share if, say, a freshman came up and said, okay, I'm just getting started this thing. What do I need to do? What do I need to know? Anything you'd tell them?
Enjoy your freshman year while you can. It only gets worse from there.
Gets tough, huh?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So that means, I guess, you'd tell them you better be prepared to do some study and be disciplined. And,
yeah.
Yeah.
things pertaining to that nature.
Yeah.
But the one thing that people struggle with is the whole thought that, you know, Christian means Christ-like. That's what it says. Christ was perfect. There's no way on earth we can be perfect, but we can give it a shot. But it's not really us giving it the shot, because when we get saved, Christ comes and lives within us. Mm-hmm. When it comes to areas that we're weak in, which I know I'm weak in a lot of areas.
So are we all. Yeah.
And the most important part is that when you find there's an area you're weak in and you find yourself put in that situation, pray for Christ to live through you in that area.
There you go.
And the best, probably one of the best pieces of advice that has ever been given to me is from Jared. Mm-hmm. Jared Johnson.
Mm-hmm.
He said in one of, when he was teaching one time, he said, we're all going to mess up at some point.
Mm-hmm.
But the only thing, the best thing you can do is before the day's over, ask God to forgive you, wake up the next morning, and try it again.
Amen. That is good counsel, because we do. And Satan would love to get us out of the battle when we mess up. And he'll say, see, you're no good. You can't do this. You're not fit for anything. God can't use you. Look what you've done. You don't mean it. You're not serious. He'll blast us with that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But I love this, because Jesus told Peter, when Peter said, how many times should I forgive my brother? Seven times? He thought he'd been pretty generous. Jesus said, seven times 70, which basically means don't stop forgiving. And we know that if he expects us to do that, that's because God's doing that for us. You know, that's the way God forgives us over and over and over. We just get up every day and say, well, thank you for forgiving me where I've messed up, which obviously doesn't excuse us from going on and messing up some more. We don't want to do it. Hopefully we mess up less and less.
Mm-hmm.
But still, you know, we desperately need that forgiveness to get up and start afresh every day. And I love what you said about it's not us. We can't do it in our strength. We don't have it. None of us do. And when we get to thinking we do, that's when we're in trouble.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and some people do. You know, they okay, I got this thing figured out. Be careful.
you have heart left and you have heart right.
Yeah.
The whole objective is to walk in the middle.
Find God's balance.
Heart left, it's you're this religious machine that says, I do this, and you think you're better than everyone else. But then you have heart right, which is, I'm worthless, I can't do this at all.
Yep.
The balance is knowing that you can't do any of it.
Yes.
But through you, Christ can do it for you.
Amen. That is so good. And that is such an important insight. I hope if people are listening to this, they haven't got anything else. If they can hang on to that, man, that'll be huge in their Christian walk.
That's how I make it. That's pretty much how I've made it up to this point. I got to keep reminding myself of this and this and everything.
Amen.
And one of the, I read, I don't like to read. I'll be blatantly honest about it.
You need to get over that storm.
Yeah,
there's some good stuff to read out there. Yeah, go ahead. I'm sorry.
The only thing I read is obviously my Bible and a few of the other Christian books I do read. And I read a book recently, which was The Strategy of Satan. And I really like that book, because it tells you what all Satan's done up, what all he's done in the Old Testament, New Testament, and why, or how, rather, he's deceived us, have deceived people up to this point. And in Ephesians, it talks about the whole armor of God.
Yes.
The armor of God. And that was something I taught out of Ephesians, and I did a little more research on that. But I didn't fully understand it up until I read that book. Because, like, at prayer circle the other day, how I said, let us put on the whole armor of God and be good soldiers of Jesus Christ, that came from Ephesians and 2 Timothy.
Yes.
But the whole, your armor, the armor of God is salvation, righteousness, peace, sword of the Spirit, and the shield of faith. And the, it's like girdle.
Yeah, that's the belt of truth. Yeah,
the belt of truth. And the helmet of salvation is basically you understanding and knowing that Christ will come back and save us all from hell. And the breastplate of righteousness is the imbued righteousness that Christ has given you through salvation. And the shield of faith, and having faith that God will do things on His time, because we always want in my time.
Yeah.
Which, that's something I know I struggle with, because I'm not, patience is virtue. I keep saying patience is not a virtue I do not have, but it's something that God's working with me on. And your shield of faith is to take, is to defend yourself and God's word from what Satan's shooting at you, like questions that non-believers ask you. I know that I've had that happen. And then your sword is to counteract that.
Mm-hmm.
And is to answer that question, is to answer the question or slay whatever beast that Satan has sent your way. And the boot and your boots of peace is basically your knowledge and understanding of the Word of God, and knowing that God will never put anything in your way you're not ready for. He will never, He'll never abandon you. He'll never forsake you.
Amen.
And the belt of truth is what holds it all together.
Yeah.
Is you understanding that everything to the right of in the beginning God is true.
Yeah. Good stuff. Good stuff. And for anybody that's interested, if you want to look at my podcast, I've got some podcasts that are early on. You'll have to back up a ways, but maybe last fall, and you'll find some things there that I've got on the full armor of God, putting on armor. But it is a key. It's huge. Oh, yeah. We've got to do that. In fact, that's exactly what I thought of a while ago when you were talking about the extremes that we have to avoid, because I think the breastplate of righteousness really does that for us, because we realize my righteousness is filthy rags. It's no good. It's not going to get me anywhere. And so I can't do things in the strength and confidence of my righteousness. I don't have anything there. But His righteousness is perfect, and He gives it to me as a gift. And because of that, I can, in confidence, serve Him and walk with Him. Mm-hmm. Not because of my righteousness, because of His that He's given me as a gift. It's awesome. It's awesome. Beautiful. Well, let's think about the future for a few minutes. Any ideas what God's going to do with you after you graduate?
Right now, the plan is graduate and go into full-time ministry with Trail Life USA.
Okay, so you're hoping,
on staff. And
yeah. You're hoping God will open the doors there so you can just do that for mm-hmm. full-time. Full-time.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, cool. Well, that would be wonderful. I think there'll be a lot of people flocking to Trail Life USA mm-hmm. who are unhappy with the Boy Scouts, you know. And even people who've never been involved in scouting at all, you know, I think if they'll pay attention to this, they'll think, wow, this is something cool to help young men not only get to know Christ, but I'll develop character and learn to love creation and get involved in the outdoors. That sounds just wonderful. So we just need to pray God will raise up a lot of men to help with that. Well, Storm, it's been a good conversation. Before we leave here, though, is there anything else that maybe is on your mind, things that trouble you, things you're concerned about that you'd like to share with us here?
The thing that I really worry about at this day and age, especially this day and age with all the churches that are either going hard left, hard right, or some weird backwards, let's go zigzag, left, mm-hmm. right, upside down, mm-hmm. weird direction they're going, then mm-hmm. that's basically what the Bible warns as false doctrine.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. So you're making basically saying, hey, we need to be on guard mm-hmm. because there's some error out there masquerading as truth. And the only way, of course, we can know the truth, stay in Scripture, right? I mean, mm-hmm. just, yeah, be on guard.
Like a prime example would be West Something Baptist Church.
Oh, yeah. What is that? Westboro Baptist
yeah,
Church?
Something yeah, something like that. Westboro, yeah. They're against military funerals. Yeah, they yeah. have very... Yeah.
Call themselves Christians, but...
Call themselves, yeah, yes. Yeah. And in ministry, when you deal with... One of the... They oppose military funerals, which bothers me to no end,
mm-hmm.
which I don't understand at all yeah. why they would oppose that. But
yeah.
One of the other things they... set up is that God hates homosexuals.
Yeah.
That's not the case.
No.
The thing that bothers me, because nowhere in the Bible does it say that God hates the sinner. Why on earth would He send His only begotten Son to die for sinners if He hated us?
Mm-hmm.
That doesn't make any sense to
yeah.
me.
Yeah.
And some people see that, take it at face value, and think it's true.
Yeah.
And then when people use that and
yes, yeah, yeah. I know where you're going there.
Mm-hmm. Consider that false doctrine
mm-hmm. yeah.
as truth, or any kind of false doctrine as truth, and then it comes back and bites the rest of us.
Yes, it does.
Like I have people ask me about that, and I'm like, not this conversation
yeah.
again.
Yeah. Well, and the liberal media, the secular media, love to hold up things like Westboro.
Mm-hmm.
And at least imply in people's minds, see, that's the way Christians are.
Yeah.
And of course it's false, you know, but we got all kinds of false doctrines out there. I mean, you know, we got the word of faith, the prosperity gospel, you know, we got that's a big source of error. We got people who are, you mentioned earlier, the legalism problem with people thinking that, well, if I'm just good enough, I'm just gonna dot all my I's, cross all my T's, God will be happy with me. We know that's an error. We got people out there who believe that if they just say a prayer, then they're forgiven, and they don't have to worry anymore, that everything's done.
Get their fire insurance.
Yeah, get their fire insurance, and that's a false gospel, of course, you know. It's about trusting Jesus, walking with Jesus, and living for Jesus, and letting Him live His life out through us. And, you know, I read a long time ago, I'm sure you've heard the story, but the best way to tell counterfeit money is to know real money really, really well. People, the guys who used to be responsible for finding counterfeit money, they would spend hours and hours and hours studying the real thing. Mm-hmm. And that way, when the false thing came along, oh yeah, I recognize that's false. And of course, that's true for Christianity as well. We study Scripture, we get to know the real thing, what God's really like, what His truth is really like, and then we can recognize the false. Yeah, that's good. Well, Storm, it's been fun talking with you here today, and I really do think God's got some awesome things in your future. You know, I don't have to tell you this, but the main thing is just walk with Him. You know, keep your eyes on Him, and there'll be ups and there'll be downs, and there'll be highs and there'll be lows, but in the highs and lows, just keep your focus on Jesus, and He'll bring you through it all. And one of these days, you'll look back and say, wow, that's cool where God's brought me. You know, that's just the way it works. It'll be different than you expect, probably. You know, he's that way. He leads us in paths that we don't expect, but we always look back and say, wow, God's so awesome.
Yeah. I never expect to be involved in the ministry of any form.
There you go. So here you are. Yeah. Well, let's have a word of prayer before we go, okay? Father, I thank You so much for Storm. I thank You for this conversation we've got to have here. And Lord, I thank You that You're working in his life and that You're making a leader out of him. And that You're using him to draw other young people, especially young men, to Yourself. And I do pray for Trail Life USA. And I pray that You would raise up a lot of godly men and draw attention to this organization so that other people all over the country who have young boys at home and young men will see the adventure in this, to see the excitement in it, and realize it's a trustworthy, a godly Christian organization that can be an exciting adventure for young men. So I pray You draw people to it. And if it's Your will for Storm to be involved in this thing in a more permanent way, that You'd open those doors and show him what that means and just walk him through that. Help us both, Lord, to walk closer to You, to be good representatives of Jesus at school or wherever else we are, that You can draw people to Yourself through us. We want Your light to shine brightly through us. And we'll give You the glory for that in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen.